No nation in history has ever survived a tax burden that reached a third of its national income. Today, 37 cents out of every dollar earned in this country is the tax collector's share. And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another scintillating episode from high above all other Lilliputian forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. No nation in history has ever survived the staggering amount of debt that the United States is incurring. And the reality is, no nation in history is capable of racking up the amount of debt that the United States has, $29.99 trillion as of this morning. There are no Wyoming families that could survive spending more than they take in. In fact, they wouldn't even be able to get a credit card. When your spending eclipses the amount of money that you bring in on a monthly basis, you are, by definition, broke. We began today's program with Rinaldus Magnus and his Time for Choosing speech. Here's the rest of what he had to say in that section.
No nation in history has ever survived a tax burden that reached a third of its national income. Today, 37 cents out of every dollar earned in this country is the tax collector's share. And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in. We haven't balanced our budget 28 out of the last 34 years. We've raised our debt limit three times in the last 12 months. And now our national debt is 1.5 times bigger than all the combined debts of all the nations of the world. We have $15 billion in gold in our treasury. We don't own an ounce. Foreign dollar claims are $27.3 billion. And we've just had announced that the dollar of 1939 will now purchase 45 cents in its total value.
Today, 34.75% of every dollar belongs to the taxman. The U.S. federal government is spending $18.6 billion a day, while at the same time, they are only bringing in $11.095 billion. That means that each and every day, the federal government is spending $7.5 billion more than it is bringing in. The last balanced budget was in 2001 when Bill Clinton was in office. The debt limit has been increased 23 times in the last 20 years and twice this year. The U.S. national debt is $29.99 trillion. That's seven times the amount of money that we bring in each year in taxes and $9 trillion more than we bring in every year. There is 147 million ounces of gold in Fort Knox, totaling $10.5 trillion, not even half of our national debt, and the United States dollar will purchase 27% less than it did 10 years ago, which means that prices have effectively increased 792% since the time Ronald Reagan gave that speech. Inflation, my friends, inflation. Oh, but I forget, it's only transitory. I mean, it's not going to be around here for very long. Right. And before I tell you how I know that, a little totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you're dumb enough to believe the words that are coming out of your mouth that there isn't that bad of inflation right now, well, you need to go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you at least in part by the Wing It Food Truck. If you want the most amazing chicken wings in the state of Wyoming, well, then you need to figure out where the Wing It Food Truck is. Personally, I prefer the garlic parmesan wings. They're amazing. Well, all you need to do is go to cowboystatepolitics.com under the sponsors tab, and you can figure out where that truck is. By this time, you've no doubt heard the Fed using the word transitory. And actually, recently, they've been backing away from that bit as it refers to inflation. But I think we ought to look up what the word transitory means. Quote, of a passing nature, not enduring or permanent, temporary, fleeting, or ephemeral. And while we're at it, we should probably look up the word inflation too, because this is going to get really confusing, because nobody in the government wants to admit that they're actually printing gigantic sums of money. But anyway, the dictionary definition of inflation is an increase in the amount of currency in circulation, resulting in a relatively sharp and sudden fall in its value and rise in prices. It may be caused by an increase in the volume of paper money issued. So all of this stuff that you're hearing from the Biden administration, from the Communist News Network, from PMSNBC, and all of them, that inflation is just an increase in prices, food prices, turkey prices, gas prices, that's all bullcrap. All of those things are results of inflation, inflation being massive money printing. Just this past week, Jerome Powell was renominated to be the head of the Federal Reserve. Here's what noted economist, owner of Forbes magazine, Steve Forbes, has to say about that.
It's telling that the best thing to say about President Biden's decision to keep Jerome Powell as chairman of our central bank for another 4 years is that the likely alternative, Lael Brainard, would have been far worse. Brainard got the consolation prize as vice chair. She wanted more restrictions on banks, on what businesses they could lend to. Fossil fuel producers being at the top of the left's list of villains. She wanted a criteria for evaluating banks to be how much they mandated green policies. She signaled she was tolerant of money printing, more money printing, not good for fighting inflation. So the markets were relieved she isn't taking over the Fed. But don't break out the champagne. More inflation will likely be coming in 2022 and 2023. The Fed bears a major responsibility for part of the inflation people and businesses are experiencing today. Rising prices are not just the result of shortages and supply chain disruption from the pandemic lockdowns. The Fed was printing too much money even before we were hit by COVID-19. This year, its massive money printing has been temporarily negated by a gimmick called reverse repurchase agreements, whereby the Fed prints money by buying bonds with money it has created out of thin air, and then removing that new money by borrowing it back short-term, often just overnight. By doing so, it helps fund most of Uncle Sam's deficits, and it keeps interest rates artificially low. Problem is, gimmicks, tricks, and distortions like this sooner or later break down, perhaps by some anticipated event, or crisis that shakes market confidence. Powell has allowed all of this to happen. He also endorsed the mammoth spending bills that he has then had to finance by printing more money. More dangerously, he doesn't know how to fight monetary inflation. He thinks inflation comes from either one-time events like the pandemic or the economy getting too prosperous. That's right, Powell believes prosperity causes inflation. When people are doing well, he wants to create some unemployment to cool things off. The only tools he thinks he has is boosting interest rates to make the economy less prosperous and to pay banks interest on the reserves they have deposited at the Fed. That way, they'll be less likely to lend the money to businesses and consumers. It's weird, but that is how Powell and the Fed see the world. So, save your champagne for New Year's Eve. Turbulent times are ahead.
When you boil it all down, the real job of the Federal Reserve is to manage our currency supply, our money supply, and to manage inflation. Now, if you ever noticed that inflation is reported in multiples of three, do you know why that is? It's because the central banks have decided that an increase in prices of around 3% per year is acceptable, and people really won't notice it. So the reason why the Biden administration is reporting that inflation is around 6% is it's one, it's a multiple of three, so it's not going to alarm you that much. And two, that way they can just say, well, you know, inflation is a little bit higher. So the amount of currency in circulation has a direct impact on the price of goods. Now, if you'll remember from the beginning of the episode, prices have risen 792% from 1964 when Ronald Reagan gave that speech. So let's do a little math. That's a difference of 57 years. Without using Common Core math, if you divide 792 by 57, you get 13. The real inflation rate is 13%, and that wouldn't even include the massive money printing that's been happening here recently. So as I explained to you earlier, we don't have the cash to pay for all of Biden's crazy spending bills, the Build Back Stupider or the We Don't Understand What Infrastructure Is bills. So all of that money, however many trillions of dollars it actually ends up being, is being created out of thin air, or printed. So when you debase a currency, that is, print huge sums of money, it necessarily makes the amount of money that's in circulation at that moment worth less. In other words, there's more money floating around, and it's easier to come by, so that necessarily makes prices go up. Let me try to explain this another way. Let's assume that you have four apples, and I ask you for one apple. Well, that's 25% of your total supply of apples. Pretty valuable to you. Now, let's say you have 100 apples, and I ask you for one. Well, that's only 1% of your total supply of apples. So it makes that one apple worth less to you because you have more of a supply. Inflation is no more complicated than that. Here's a little bit of Fox News where they're discussing Jen Psaki's understanding of supply-side economics.
Why should Americans not be concerned that injecting another $1.75 trillion or more would further raise inflation?
Because no economist out there is projecting that this will have a negative impact on inflation.
Bullcrap! Here's Joe Concha's response to that drivel.
Yeah, dozens upon dozens of economists said, and even like your basic sophomore who just finished Econ 101 would say, if you print trillions of more dollars and you flood the system with it, that may devalue the dollar and therefore push up inflation. I believe I read that somewhere once. But
really, though, this is only half of the story. First, they don't really believe that printing money produces inflation. And secondly, even if they did believe that, they don't think it would be that big of a problem. Because they're operating on some ridiculous notion called modern monetary theory. In an article entitled, "The Problem with Modern Monetary Theory is that it's True," Nathan Lewis writes in Forbes magazine on February 21, 2019 that, and I quote, "Modern monetary theory basically posits that a government can pay its bills by printing money. What exactly is so modern about this? I don't know. In the 3rd century, the Roman government started paying its bills by making coins with higher and higher denominations. I don't think they ever made a trillion-dollar denarii coin, but the value of the denarius eventually fell to less than a millionth of its original value. It's a recipe for disaster, but even so, every government does it today, to some extent. The irony of this is that a government can, in part, pay its bills with the printing press, but this works best when a government acts as if it cannot. For once a government goes too far down this road, the government soon finds that confidence in the currency or the government's bonds has fallen so far that it can no longer use the printing press finance without disastrous and immediate consequences. In short, it is better to act as if you can't, even when you can." End quote. Here's the problem with all of that, from that same article, quote, "Recently, the Federal Reserve held U.S. Treasury securities amounting to about $2.2 trillion. Notice that number's a lot smaller than what we actually owe. Anyway, the interest income from this is then remitted back to the Treasury. The Treasury pays the Fed, and the Fed gives the money back to the Treasury. Kind of circular, don't you think? It is as if the Treasury paid nothing at all. In effect, the interest rate on these bonds is zero. If you issue a bond and never pay either the interest or the principal, the bonds are typically rolled into new bonds upon maturity, then it is as if you made them disappear. The Treasury has, over the course of decades, managed to make $2.2 trillion worth of bonds disappear. This is functionally similar to if the Treasury simply ordered up $2.2 trillion in the form of $100 bills on forklift pallets and used them to pay bills." End quote. I'll get back to explaining why the Biden administration couldn't pass freshman economics here in just a second. But first, a completely obscene profit timeout. Ah, the Christmas season is in full swing. This year, I think you should do something a little bit different, gentlemen. Instead of waiting until the last minute, you should figure out what the missus wants before December 23rd. Now, I can tell you for a fact that she is sick and tired of not being able to park in that garage because you've got all of your bright and shiny summertime toys packed in there. Now, guys, you should give your wife a gift that will stand the test of time and keep you from sleeping on the couch. You see, you should call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their number is 307-674-2532. All you need to do is tell them how big of a garage they need to build you, and they'll handle all of the rest of the details. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they certainly do it better than anybody else around. And out of anybody, they understand how happy a new building from Morton Buildings would make the missus, because she won't have to get out of the car in the pouring rain or the freezing snow. Think about it, guys. I'm doing you a favor here. Call Morton Buildings, 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on the web at mortonbuildings.com. On Saturday in Casper, Wyoming, at the Hangar Bar and Grill, Gun Owners of America and Liberty's Place for You are sponsoring the Liberty Summit 2021. The event's going to start at 9 a.m. and go till about 5:30. They've got a number of guest speakers, and it's just going to be a conference of like-minded, liberty-loving Wyoming citizens. So that's Saturday, December 4th at the Hangar Bar and Grill in Casper, Wyoming. Don't forget about the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, follow it, tell everybody you know about it. I'll post all of the shows there, as well as anything I find during the course of the week that I think you might be interested in. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to Cowboy State Politics. That way you can be notified when a new episode is posted. That's every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. And now, back to my totally not depressing episode on inflation. So when a government keeps its affairs in order and acts as if it's not going to use money printing to get by, there's actually a small advantage. There's confidence in the currency. But when a government declares, via some various silly justifications, that it intends to just print money out of thin air, well, it typically finds that it cannot without a currency breakdown. Currency traders know that he who panics first panics best. To even talk about this sort of thing is dangerous. End quote. So really, it all boils down to this ridiculous notion that we can just print any amount of money we want and continue to spend, and the rest of the world won't pay any mind to it. You see, it's based on this theory called Keynesian economics. It was developed by this guy named Maynard Keynes. He actually said that money printing doesn't really matter because we're going to be dead before we have to pay it back. Sure sounds like sound financing to me. Well, all of this money printing really is a version of the same old bad dream, because history always repeats itself. And this money printing business, this goes all the way back to before the Roman Empire. Now, you heard Nathan Lewis mention the Roman Empire in that Forbes article. Here's kind of what happened. So the Roman Empire was expanding at such a rate that they had to keep building their army to become bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, you have to pay soldiers. Trouble is, though, the government didn't have enough silver to produce enough coins to pay the soldiers. So what they did is they reduced the silver content in the coins. Well, everybody else and Ray Charles could see what was happening, that those coins became worth less. There was less silver in them. So prices on just about everything necessarily skyrocketed. And in the end of the story is that the army started to fall apart simply because soldiers weren't being paid. Keep in mind that at the time, 30% of Romans were on the Roman version of welfare. They got all their bread for free. So not only was the government trying to pay for this massive army, they were also subsidizing food for a third of their population. And to top it all off, they didn't have enough silver to cover the bill for all of this stuff. There are many historians that would argue that inflation was one of the contributing factors to the fall of Rome. I'm included in that bunch, by the way. But the story doesn't end there. Let's talk about the Weimar Republic in Germany. After World War I, Germany was saddled with the complete debt of the war. Well, they didn't have enough cash to cover that bill either, so they just started printing money. It didn't take too long, and hyperinflation kicked in. That's when the price of goods rises faster than the creation of money. So the real result of that is you would get paid twice a day because the price of your food was going up so quickly that you had to buy it in the morning and you had to buy it at lunchtime. There's this great story of a guy who goes to the grocery store to buy his food for the night, and he's got his wheelbarrow full of money, and he puts all of his goods up on the counter so he can buy them, and he turns around to look at something behind him, turns back, and he had been robbed. But they didn't take his money. They took his food. The end of this story is the Weimar Republic fell in spectacular fashion, and they had to completely reassert their currency. Instead of basing it on precious metals, which they didn't really have a lot of, they based it on land, because Germany was the largest country in Europe, or at least it was at that time. Another example is Zimbabwe in 2008. Believe it or not, in 2008, the Zimbabwe dollar was equal to the U.S. dollar. So that tells you how big of a rocket economy they had at the time. You know, albeit economies of scale and all, but when your currency is equal to the dollar, things are going pretty good for you. Well, they started spending extraordinary amounts of money on social programs, and within 3 years, the government was printing $100 trillion bills. If you want, you can get on eBay and buy one of those gigantic $100 trillion bills for about 10 bucks. That was 13 years ago. Today, it takes 361.9 Zimbabwe dollars to equal one George Washington. I've only given you three examples of where this has happened. But massive spending, massive money printing, always leads to massive inflation, which always leads to the collapse of a currency. It is always the terminal result of socialism. You can probably already guess what the Sleepy Joe administration is going to do to try to stop this death spiral of inflation we're all experiencing. Spend more money, of course. This one's pretty shocking because it's on CNN. It's Brian Drees, who is an economic advisor to Joe Biden. Just listen to this. Now, I've edited out the middle simply because I didn't want to vomit all over my computer, but I left everything in context. You can completely understand what he's saying. Here it is on CNN.
Advisor to President Biden, Brian Drees. Brian, thanks for joining us. So let's start on this dire inflation report. Take a look at how much prices have risen over the last year. Regular gas prices up more than 50%, utility gas 28%, used cars, beef, pork, eggs, all up. This new Washington Post poll shows 70% of those polled view the economy negatively, 38% say the economy's in poor condition. How concerned are you and the president about inflation, and what specifically are you doing to fix it?
Well, inflation is high right now, and it is affecting consumers in their pocketbook and also in their outlook for the economy. But those concerns underscore why it's so important that we move forward on the Build Back Better legislation, this legislation that the House is going to consider this week.
Okay, hold on just a second. Their answer to inflation is, let's spend a couple more trillion. Wow. Okay, here's the rest of it.
This, more than anything, will go at the costs that Americans face. And this bill is fully paid for. It's not going to add to inflationary pressures, quite the opposite, because we're going to pay for everything in this bill by raising taxes on big companies, large corporations, and the highest income Americans. So there's an urgency to act. The House is going to consider this bill this week, and we're looking forward to making progress in getting this done.
Right, but nothing you just mentioned, assuming that everything you're saying is accurate and comes to pass the way you want, nothing you mentioned would bring down grocery prices, would bring down gas prices. For instance, let's just take gas prices for a second.
Pretty amazing that CNN called him on his BS. Clearly, spending more money is not the solution to inflation. It's actually the cause. And secondly, and I probably don't have to tell any of you this, but businesses don't pay taxes. They pass them on to consumers. So when they claim that they're going to pay for anything by increasing taxes on corporations, they're going to do exactly the opposite because you are the ones that are going to be paying for it. But the most important part of this entire episode is that the current administration is not going to stop printing money. They're not going to stop spending money, and they don't think that it's a problem, even though history proves that their exact behavior leads to a complete collapse of the currency. So this whole episode has been a pretty dark rain cloud, and I don't want to leave it there. So what are some things that you can do to protect yourself against inflation? Well, that answer is easy. Buy things that have intrinsic value. Gold, silver, guns, ammunition, anything that you can sell further down the road. Gold and silver have been the currency since currency was invented. That was invented by the Lydians, by the way. But it always has value. And when the economy crashes because of all their crazy wild spending, you'll have things that you can that still have value that you can use to buy things that you need, like, I don't know, food. One last important point. There are lots of firms, you see them all the time advertised on TV and on the radio, that claim to sell gold. But really what they do is they sell you paper and they say, well, you've invested in a supply of precious metals. Don't do that. Buy actual physical gold, silver, things that you can hold in your hand. The other thing that you can do is start building up your food pantry. Buy things that you can keep for a while. Beans, rice. Buy a dehydrator so that you can store food and learn how to can. Those things don't go bad. And look at the bright side. If you're hungry, you can always eat them. But don't just take what the administration is selling you for granted. They're lying to you, and they're probably lying to themselves, because nobody is dumb enough to believe the crap that they're selling. So remember, history doesn't lie. And as much as the Redcoats want to change history and rewrite it and revise it to make it fit their narrative, the facts don't change. The inflationary spiral that we're in right now has always ended the same way. And we're no different just because we happen to be the United States of America. The same thing will happen to us if we don't reverse course. It happened in Rome. It happened in the Weimar Republic. It happened in Zimbabwe in 2008. And in probably a dozen other places. We are no different. But there are things that you can do to prevent yourself from falling victim to all of this crazy inflationary spending. A quick program note, if you happen to be in Park County on Thursday, I'll be speaking at the Park County GOP Central Committee meeting. So come and join us if you can. I'd love to see you. Don't forget that the Corporations Committee meeting is starting tomorrow, and they're supposed to discuss the runoff bill on Thursday at 4 o'clock. If you can, go down to Cheyenne and testify in person. If not, you can always testify on Zoom. And if you can't do either of those things, make sure that you call the committee members and tell them we absolutely want this runoff bill and they should vote for it. I put a link that'll show you all of the committee members on the Corporations Committee, and all you need to do is click on their picture and you can get their phone number. Believe it or not, it has only been 1 year for Cowboy State Politics, and on Weekend Update, we'll celebrate our 1 year anniversary. If you enjoy hunting redcoats as much as we do at Cowboy State Politics, then you definitely don't want to miss Saturday's show. Well, that'll about do it for today, and we'll talk again on Weekend Update. From the base of the Bighorns, in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.